For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmondson.
And this week, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 13, Death is in the Air, the episode that makes us look back on the last 3 years of our lives and think, yikes, we lived that. And we still are. Was this a psychonition? What are we calling these? Psych premonitions? I'm not really sure. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie. You know, one thing before we get going, Max, you look amazing today.
Aww.
You just got a little extra something Farrah Fawcett going on. You got a little extra body in the hair today.
I do. I'm noticing that in the thing. I don't know where it's coming from. I tried a new hair oil. Maybe it's that. Hair oil. Supposed to be good. Supposed to be good for you.
Well, it's
look at your new beard, Tim. I love your. Oh, we probably shouldn't talk about that. Never mind.
No, it could. That's okay.
You trimmed, right? It's a nice. You got a nice little trim.
I did a little grooming on the beard, and more importantly, chasing the fountain of youth, I took the gray down a notch.
Yeah, but it looks real good. It looks real good.
Thank you, my friend.
And you know, I love the gray, so it looks really, really good.
Which honestly is one of the reasons I always like to try and keep the gray.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Hey, you
Maggie.
Look fantastic.
Yes, thank you. We've established that. I mean, I never hate hearing it.
No, you look great. You look real good today. Yeah. You always look good, but look.
I got that
today.
Mabel glow. That's what it is.
The Mabel glow. Oh my gosh! I want to do a whole podcast about Mabel. I just want to do this whole episode about Mabel. Okay, first off, I have to say, I feel like this episode was a bit re-traumatizing from the last few years we've had.
I totally understand why you'd say that. Yes.
Yeah, I was very
just because it was just dealing with a deadly virus and/or pandemic. Although in the show, it never became a pandemic, but it certainly was an outbreak.
Yeah, like that movie Outbreak. You know, it's so funny because I was thinking this must have been 2009. And how we could never have imagined that something like that could be real. Like you kind of saw.
You know what we call that on a little shuttle podcast called The Psychologists Are In? We call that a psychic premonition.
Yeah.
The whole episode was a psychic premonition. Terrifying.
I'm very worried about the zombie episode then.
Well, we got a few years to get to that one, luckily.
Especially with watching The Last of Us. Oh, another one about a thing, infecting us. It's
how far in are you with The Last of Us? Because I got through the pilot of. Pardon, you're what?
Four episodes. I'm you're caught up.
Okay, I got through the first one. I wanted to go to the second one. Then Allison was like, I don't really know if I can deal with another post pandemic Armageddon show.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to keep going. Then. Turns out Nora was watching it with one of her girlfriends last night after.
It's intense. It's intense. I don't know what to say. I'm sticking with it. Well, you know, Melanie was in the episode the other night. So.
Oh, that's why would you want to start watching it? Because of Melanie.
Yeah. So that was very exciting. And I don't want to say any more if you're going to watch it. But
okay, I'm going to go back.
Yeah. There's just a lot of whew. And that was also before, because that's based on a game, right? And that I think came out in 2013. So also not very pre-pandemic, you know? So these ideas that these things can happen, because of course they happen, it's just, you know, you kind of, I was just thinking about while we were making this episode, oh, this is such a great idea. How scary.
Well, I've been debating whether or not to send you an article my friends just sent me about a new avian flu strain.
No.
Don't send it?
No, you can send it.
Okay.
No, knowledge is power.
Everybody was like, should I send this message or not? I'll text it to you.
Okay, please do. Please do. And then I'll read it when I'm feeling, you know, strong and that I can handle such information.
Okay, deal.
Okay, let's talk about this episode for real, even though it was, hang on, very, I don't know. It's just uncomfortable to watch, just knowing everything we've been through. But I also found it to be a very, very funny
I was going to say it's a good thing. It's a funny show and a really funny episode, and you're in it, and our amazing family's in it, all being very, very funny.
Everyone is so funny in this episode, and I just thought some of the bits, the his Gus, don't be Nick Cage's accent from Con Air. But there's like a million of those in this episode. It's a really good episode. Okay, my notes are ready. Are your notes ready?
My professional notes are super ready. And yes, hey, Maggie, what are we talking about today?
Well, first I want to ask you if you're ready to help me. Tim, are you ready to podcast the shit out of it?
You know, Maggie, now that I have this beautiful new Angel Baby addition, my family.
Aww.
Adopt, don't shop, everyone. Obviously, I am really ready to podcast the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Because I have been filled with the love of a baby dog.
A baby dog. It's the greatest baby doggy. Love. It's the greatest love. All right, then. Let's go. Episode 13, Death is in the Air. Pineapple sighting. Didn't get it, though I should have. Now where I see where it is.
I did get this. I got a verbal.
Same. It's a verbal.
Yeah. It's an audible, I guess you'd call it.
An audible. So at the tiki bar, Sean asks for 3 pineapple wedges in his club soda, but also, you could see a wooden pineapple behind them in the same scene. Ah, so we double pineappled. We doubled up.
We doubled up the pineappleness.
We doubled up. Okay, cold open. Ready? It's 1989. Henry gives young Sean an outdoor bath because he somehow contracted lice. Then Henry teaches Sean about how outbreaks spread. And when Sean earnestly asks if using a shared towel can spread disease, Henry realizes he's next in line for lice-ville.
Oh, so here's a little insider personal life. As we were shooting this episode, my kids were just starting kindergarten, my beautiful Lily and Nora. And if you've got an elementary school age child, you have no doubt experienced the joys of lice, because there was one period of time when like every couple of weeks we would get the email from the elementary school saying lice outbreak. And then you're like, it's horrible. Yeah. So we became very adept at looking for lice, which, by the way, has nothing to do with cleanliness. It's just one of those things that happens.
Yeah.
In fact, the dirtier your hair is, the less lice like it, because they don't like the oils in your dirty hair.
Oh, weird. I didn't know that.
So, yeah. So it's just a little fun fact. So people go, oh, people who have lice are dirty. No, it's not. That's not the true.
No.
We'd get the outbreak, and then we had to take the kids to an establishment that would made buckets of money by combing your kids' hair out. And poor Nora had the curliest hair in the world at this time. And then sometimes we'd do house calls. So during this episode, this was a season where it was really good that I had my crew cut, because it made it so much easier to comb the hair out. And I think there was one week, it might have been this episode, when I came back out from LA and I was mortified that a dean or someone was going to find lice in my hair. Which luckily did not happen, but it helped out of the shorter haircut.
No, that does help. That does help. I remember that in grade school. If you're anything like most people, setting grand resolutions for the new year never works. It all feels so daunting. Remember my attempt at dry January? Yeah, that was too grand of a resolution for sure. Well, try this instead. Start small and think about all the little habit changes you can make one step at a time, like cleaning your leftover toothpaste out of the sink or wiping up sauce after you cook a meal. That's why Blueland is perfect, because they make it so easy to start a new low-waste lifestyle. No massive overhaul of your routine, just tiny changes that add up to a huge impact. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet. The idea is simple. They offer beautiful, endlessly refillable cleaning products. Just fill your bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery store run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. Try their Clean Essentials Kit, which has everything you need to get started. 3 bottles of cleaner, plus a bottle of hand soap. Comes in this beautiful light scents, such as iris agave, fresh lemon, and eucalyptus mint. They're insanely beautiful, you guys. Like, I have to say, I'm a sucker for beautiful packaging, and it is, it's so beautiful. It smells so good. And the ease, also, like, having so many bottles and so many things, like, wherever you put, mine's under my sink, this just cleans it all up. So it actually helps, like, declutter. I can't say enough about it. I really, really love this stuff. Blue Land has a special offer just for The Psychologist, our in listeners. Get 15% off your first purchase of any product to get you and your year started right. I already posted about Blue Land on the Psych Instagram because I am such a big fan of this company. Blue Land's products are so eco-safe and eco-chic. The bottles look great on my counter. I don't even feel the need to hide them. I really don't. I've been leaving them out. People have asked me about them. They're so cute. Their cute, minimalist, and pastel designs look great with whatever aesthetic you're rocking in your home. Plus, they offer laundry and dish care. I think my favorite part of this company is that you buy the bottle once and you can just refill it forever. It's true. It's just so easy. And all without the plastic waste, which is so good. To get 15% off your first order, go to blueland.com/pineapple. That's 15% off your first order right now when you go to blueland.com/pineapple. That's blueland.com/pineapple. Cut back to present day. A woman stumbles around a local convenience store early in the morning in what seems to be a drunken state. Then Sean and Gus take a stroll by the water as Sean brags about his single man lifestyle. Always dressing like it's tailgate season, eating stinky food, TiVoing whatever he wants on television, and of course, his favorite ringtone is back. Feel free to sing the song if you choose.
Well done, Devin.
No, I don't think I'm going to. Tim?
I will not. Thanks, no.
Thanks, no. But thank you for the option, Devin. Always, always give the option. Thank you. Okay, Jules then runs into Sean and Gus
Hang on, sorry. Before you interrupt, a massive 3 minutes and 6 seconds before The Ray of Sunshine, Maggie Lawson, Juliet O'Hara walks on screen. And I say that's 6 seconds too damn long.
Thank you, Sam. That's
but they
so
go
nice.
From like this this dark scene about stinky breath to suddenly O'Hara shows up in her burnt pomegranate top Pepto drink family. Knock it back, everybody.
I saw that. I was like, oh, that's a we're in the fam. I was trying to think if I had a note on the scene. I don't. Okay, so I'm going on a date, right? Yep. So Richard from Forensics, that's right, meeting a guy for coffee. That's when Sean teases him about his giant ears, and Gus calls out the fact that Sean is jealous and that Sean should finally do something about his feelings for Jules. Back at the psych office, the guys meet Donnie Lieberman as he sleeps in one of the chairs.
Raising my hand for those of you who are not watching. There was one of my favorite lines in this episode we crossed over where Sean says to Gus, don't use your ain't gonna fall for no banana in the tailpipe line every time you imitate a white man, which is one of my favorite lines from the iconic 48 Hours, one of my favorite movies of this era.
Yes, so good.
So that one just made me chuckle, which I was so wondering good. if that was scripted or just a Rodé Rodriguez special.
Yeah, I don't know. But it feels Rodé Rodriguez special to me.
I think it might have been.
Okay, so back at the office, yes, Donnie Lieberman sleeps on the chairs. He mentions he works for a courier service that caters to biomedical companies and that last night he got very drunk and when he woke up this morning, the cooler was transporting for Genutech was missing that he was transporting. Yes, it contained the deadly Thornburg virus, whose symptoms include headache, weakness, and bleeding from the eyes. He also says he is missing an antique gold watch given to him by his father. Back at the convenience store, the lady from earlier starts bleeding from the eyes before she falls down dead and wearing a gold watch, I might add. Cue the theme song. Sean and Gus visit the crime scene, where Sean psychically reveals that the woman died from the Thornburg virus.
So if she died, the question really, and the question of the episode is, was she murdered? Question mark.
Question mark.
Let's find out. You'll have to stay tuned and we'll find out.
So Sean also noticed she's wearing an antique gold watch. If she took Donnie's watch, she probably took the cooler too. Then the gang teases Sean about his fear of Patrick Dempsey. This was so funny. Simply because he's jealous of Dempsey's incredible hair. Back at the psych office,
which
Sean
I never
and
realized
Gus-
that this episode goes in our homage episodes. Like it really is an homage to Outbreak and Contagion. Which at the time it took me like halfway through watching it to go, oh, this is an homage episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things our show does so well.
It's a world, right? We do go into this world of like of the what we've lived. What we've lived. Okay. Hold
or
on.
What we Dempsey's- will come to live.
Back at the psych office, Sean and Gus force Donnie to remember what he saw at the bar last night, which leads them to a tiki bar Donnie remembers that he and dead woman were drinking together in last night. When the boys get there, the bartender immediately recognizes Donnie and tells them Donnie left with a hot brunette named Ginger. Then a really weird run about Ginger's goes on. Sean figures Donnie took her back to his room, and when they get there, Sean sees clues leading him to conclude Ginger was a prostitute who targeted Donnie in order to rob him. That's when Juliet calls Sean to tell him he was right about the woman dying of Thornburg. She's at the victim's apartment now, where the cops discovered $10,000 in cash and a key to a hotel room just a few doors down from Donnie's room. Sean, Gus, and Donnie run to the room where they find an empty box of latex gloves.
There's an amazing O'Hara line in here.
Which one? Wait, really?
When
did I miss it?
When Sean reveals that she is a sex worker.
Oh, and I say, and I'm like, she's got a nice place.
Well, if she's a hooker, she must be really good at it because this place is sick.
Yeah.
So it's a very funny
O'Hara line.
So random for
Juliet to say that, by the way. It was very funny, and I'm like, I wrote down what's so bad about gingers. Because they're literally just like, oh, there's only two good gingers or something on the planet. Women named Ginger, meaning. And then when I call him and I'm like, Sean, you were right. He's like, about Atlantis? Anyway, okay, that was very funny. Okay, hold on. Sean doesn't. That's when Sean figures out that someone hired Ginger to rob Donnie and steal the cooler. And the person who booked the room paid in cash and went by the name Val Kilmer.
Yay, Val Kilmer reference.
Reference.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
No, I know. Okay, then Sean then finds a map of Coffee with Attitude where he and the gang visit to look for clues. Just before they enter, Sean notices a broken vial inside and locks the doors with a broom, barring anyone from going in or out of the shop. Cut to Lassie getting an outdoor bath. It's so cute.
Okay, hang on. So this is now the decontamination shower scene.
Yes.
Which is, for Stick Arms Amundsen, his greatest nightmare and my greatest nightmare. Especially having to be, luckily they went waist up, so you didn't get my belly. But still enough of, you got enough of Stern and Bush up to see the much evidence of the Stick Arm Amundsen arms. And so this was rough because I'm also standing back next to a Dule Hill who has grapefruits for shoulders.
Grapefruits, that's so cute. That's so cute.
But luckily, blessedly, the I think I played, was it Donnie is the courier?
Yeah.
Donnie is also nearby me. So the shot goes from me to Donnie to Delay. And Donnie is a very, very, very skinny man. No offense, Donnie. Not skinny shaming you at all. But it made me, in my underdeveloped musculature, feel much better when watching the episode back this morning, going, oh, thank goodness, by comparison, because it goes from Dule being super muscular to Donnie and then back to me. So it was not as humiliating as it definitely could have been.
I thought you looked great. I thought everybody did. I love this scene. I think it's so cute. It was such a bonding day for us. We were all in it together. We were all in it together.
That's true. We were all in it. But not everyone like me was in the dressing area doing push-ups just before the scene. I mean, I'm sure not that Dulé or James needed it, but I certainly needed to do some quick push-ups.
I think most actors do quick push-ups, no matter how they look, before scenes. You know that. Any scene where they have to have their shirt off. Most actors, you will find in some corner, somewhere, doing quick push-ups before their shirtless
scene. Or curls with sandbags.
Yeah, yeah. All right, ready? Continuing.
Go. But okay. Thank you for all that, my friend. That makes me feel better.
Yes.
And less humiliated that's out there in the world.
Cut to Leslie getting an outdoor bath in case he was contaminated by the virus. McNabb walks over and can't help but chuckle. For the second time in the episode, Leslie yells out, "Who the hell are you?" to Donnie as he reaches out his hand to introduce himself.
One of the great iconic lines of, "Yeah, I'm not big on nude handshakes."
Yeah,
is in this scene.
So good. "Hey, I'm Donnie, and I'm the guy that caused this whole thing." That's what he says. It's very cute. While the gang all take their outside showers, Sean shampoos himself because he always carries a small bottle of baby shampoo with him. No more tears, Jules. I love that line. After they are decontaminated and cleared, the group meets Stephen Reedman from the CDC at the hospital. Sean questions if he's actually qualified to be a doctor, and when Dr. Reedman pulls out a stethoscope from his pocket, Sean gives him the okay. Reedman,
the iconic, you say it,
Judd Nelson. In fact, Devin just texted me and said, "We're just calling him Dr. Judd Nelson for the rest of this episode."
Who, obviously, we do not need to explain who Dr. Judd Nelson is. Part of our very, very, very important gets of The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Was this, I think he was number two.
Yeah, because we already had Allie. Right? Yeah, we had already had Allie.
Yes, we'd had Allie and Yin or Yang. I always get this mixed up.
Yang. First one was Yang.
With Alan Yang.
Yeah. So this was really, really special for us. I mean, James was losing his mind quite a bit. And we all were, actually. But this, it was such a fun character for him to come play. And he did a whole funny thing with it. It was cool.
He was very, he was very funny as this kook.
Yeah. Okay. Sean questions if he's really blah, blah, blah. Dr. People are okay. Reedman tells them Judd Nelson tells them that only two people from the cafe are showing Thornburg symptoms and that the disease isn't airborne. Luckily, a lab only 2 hours away has been working on an antiviral for Thornburg, which is already en route to them. Yes.
There's a very funny bit exchange between Sean and Dr. Judd Nelson, where Sean says, "What do you think of the last of his hair?" And he says something effective. "Well, if he let it grow out, it would make his ears stick out less."
Yes.
Which is a psychic premonition, because every time I'm getting a haircut, Allison says, "Don't go too short on the sides because you know how it makes your ears stick out." Because after that thing that happened that was in all the papers.
What?
Yeah, I had the same. It was like this horrible, scary, life-changing medical event. But I'm okay.
I didn't know. Okay, I'm so happy. I didn't know.
Thanks. So I tried to go back to Lassiter season 8 hair, which was, you know, the cool undercut with super high and tight on the sides, really. And then I went back to that one haircut and then realized, oh, this does not look as good as it used to, because for many reasons. But every time else, it's like, don't go too short on the sides. So now I have to tell our friend Amy McHale, don't bother bringing the clippers because we're not going to use them.
And all, is it because of the episode, or is this just because of your own feelings around it?
No, it's because of my own feelings around it.
Oh, okay. I think your hair looks great. Whatever you're doing, it looks great. Okay.
The ears do pop out a bit more when I buzz it on the sides.
I want to see it.
But thank you.
Hey, remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself you'd stick to? HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Get HelloFresh and skip that extra trip to the grocery store and the long checkout lines. Spend more time doing the things you love, chef-crafted recipes delivered to your doorstep. HelloFresh now has 40 weekly recipes to choose from, so you can say bye-bye to your recipe rut and treat yourself and your family to exciting new flavors every week. Looking for an easy way to eat well and save money? Cut back on expensive takeout and delivery and get started with HelloFresh. You will love how fast, easy, and affordable it is to whip up a restaurant-quality meal right in your own kitchen. No matter your lifestyle or meal preferences, HelloFresh has recipes sure to please everyone at your table. From fit and wholesome to veggie or family friendly, you will always find something even the pickiest eaters will enjoy. You can customize select meals by swapping proteins or sides or even adding protein to a veggie dish. And now you can even upgrade for organic chicken or organic ground beef. HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients and easy-to-follow recipe cards mean you can get a delicious home-cooked dinner on the table without all the time-consuming meal planning or prepping. The other night, I made the mushroom and black bean burgers with a side salad, like potato wedges, herby mayo. Oh my God, it was so good. It was so good. And the best part is it only took 35 minutes. That's less than an entire episode of Psych. I love that HelloFresh takes the fear away from what are we having for dinner. I know exactly what I'm having, how I'm making it, and the ingredients are sent straight to my house. If you are looking for an easy way to eat well and save money, go to HelloFresh.com/Pineapple65 and use code Pineapple65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's a huge discount. That's HelloFresh.com/Pineapple65, code Pineapple65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Enjoy. I can't say enough about this. I really was worried. I was getting a lot of takeout. It was getting out of hand. HelloFresh has helped me come back, cook at home, save money, and the recipes are honestly to a T. They're so easy to follow. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, with the public health threat contained, except the one that is Lassiter's hair, as Sean jokes, Sean and Gus talk to the victims in hazmat suits, hoping they saw who left the vial at the cafe, but neither one of them noticed anything suspicious. The bit with these hazmat suits is so freaking funny to me, with his phone going off, and their back and forth, and Dulé, like, hitting on the thing. Oh, it was just, it was so classic Sean and Gus.
I think these are the actual suits. I mean, the style of suits they used in Contagion. Outbreak was before Contagion, I think.
Yeah. I literally wrote back hazmat scene. So funny. Yeah. I'm not sure the years on those. But okay. As the guys are leaving, they see the antiviral arrive. And the lab it was shipped from is Genutech. Sean doesn't believe that's a coincidence. And Gus head back to the lab. Sean and Gus meet a lab tech that tells them that he shipped all the antiviral to the hospital because they had underestimated the dose it would take to cure the virus. And unfortunately, they can't make any more because their lab was shut down a week ago. He tells
them Sounds like something nefarious is happening to me, Mags.
Yeah, same. Same. He tells them Dr. Tony Mallon, who was running the lab, lost funding. But now that, I hope I'm saying that right too, but now that there's an outbreak, they could be starting back up again. Sean realizes that Mallon probably created the outbreak to justify further funding of his work. Sean then asks if the lab has any radioactive spiders. Sean looks through the personal junk box Mallon left in the lab and finds a bus schedule, a theater program, and a photo of him in front of a log cabin. Sean realizes Mallon was one of the victims in the hospital earlier and that they've luckily got the culprit locked up in quarantine. Sean calls Juliet to warn her, but she unfortunately breaks the news that Mallon already broke out before he was treated with the antiviral. Sean says he must have had his own stash somewhere, but at least he doesn't have any more Thornburg to release. That's when the lab tech overhears this. This lab tech was very kooky, by the way. And corrects Sean, mentioning there were actually two more vials that are missing. Back at the station, Lassie and Jules chat at their desk, where Lassie gives her advice in the most pompous way.
I love this
scene. Me too. And then Jules leads the talk. Well, attempts to lead the talk about who the suspect is. And Sean remembers the bus schedule and the theater program. But the back and forth we have of like wanting to break this news and being competitive is good. Sean remembers the bus schedule and the theater program and divines that Mallon will be at one of those two places. Dr. Judd Nelson then asks for a sample of Sean's psychic DNA, and Gus
Dr.
mentions
Judd
he's the brains behind the operation, so he should ask for his DNA. But the doctor wasn't interested. Instead, more interested in the shape of Gus's head. The gang arrives at the bus stop to find Mallon, where Lassie steps on glass. That's when we all gasp because our beloved officer may have broken the second missing vial of the disease.
Ruh-roh.
Just a light bulb. Lassiter then yells at Sean to go hide in a bathroom, and that's when Sean spots him. Mallon begins to take off, losing one of the vials in the process. Sean is able to recover the vial before it is compromised, but Mallon gets away. Lassiter yells at Sean, and that's when Sean realizes that Mallon is sick because he didn't know he needed a bigger dose of the antiviral. He figures Mallon is heading back to the hospital for more, and he and Gus and Juliet are able to corner him there. Sean offers to trade the cure for the last vial, and Malin agrees, handing over the cooler. As Juliet checks its contents, she cuts herself on the broken vial inside. Sean turns back to Malin for the last of the cure, but it's too late for both of them. Spooky. I really oversold the cut, by the way.
I disagree.
I literally am like, ow. Anyway, I thought it was very big. Malin says there is more antiviral, but it's 2 hours away. He says the word Victoria, and then he dies. Dr. Judd Nelson puts Juliet into a quarantine as Sean, Gus, and Lassiter try to decipher what Malin meant by his last word. Sean notices the Genutech logo is a cabin and remembers the picture in the lab. Sean realizes the Victoria is the lake where Malin's cabin is located. Malin must have the antiviral stashed at his cabin. Lassiter and Sean race out as Gus stays with Juliet. At the cabin, Lassiter and Sean are met by a raging Rottweiler, where Lassiter immediately pulls his gun out. Perfect timing, as Tim just got a new puppy. Gus sits in the waiting room wearing a mask and gloves, trying to calm Jules down. Sean puts on Lassiter's baseball catcher's gear and runs through the yard to distract the dog. This was a great bit between the two of you guys, by the way. And Lassie runs inside for the cure. The two get back to the hospital in time, but Dr. Judd Nelson tells Gus she doesn't need it. Juliet was lucky and never contracted the virus.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Sean realizes.
I feel like that cabin was the cabin we used for Lassie Jerky.
I believe it is. I was going to say that too. I think it's the same cabin. Psychos, make the comparison. Let us know.
Look, if both of us are thinking it and it's our damn show, I think that we can say true. Yes, we are smart enough to know that it was the same cabin because we were actually there performing on the television program at the time.
That's true. Psychos, save your energy. We got this one right. Sean realizes it was too close a call and goes to Juliet to finally tell her how he feels about her. But before he can finish, I know, Gus interrupts him, mentioning Jules doesn't have the virus. Then Sean mentions he still wants to say what he was going to earlier. He gives a beautiful metaphor about cereal boxes and how he doesn't want to miss out on the prize. Then he gets interrupted by Lassiter this time. Who is ecstatic that his partner is going to be okay. For some reason, the timing is never right between the two of them. Back in the hospital lobby, Donnie then realizes another girl used him again after his watch went missing for the second time. Back at the psych office, Dr. Judd Nelson mentions he won't leave until Sean gives him his DNA and he begins to measure Gus's head. Yay. Okay. That's our episode, you guys. We have fan questions, too.
But we podcast the shit out of that, Maggie.
Thank you. We'll dive right into these questions, Tim.
Fan questions.
Okay.
You've got questions, queries. We've got answers.
Woohoo! Who is the biggest baby when they get sick? I was just about to say. Probably Tim. No. I feel like you're the strongest person I know.
No.
Do you milk it though? You're like I'm sick, I'm gonna milk it.
To the point where I almost get nervous to tell Allison if I'm getting a cold because she's like, oh God, the baby's here now. Yes, I do milk it.
I'm the opposite. I'm a denier. I literally will just be like, I'm fine. What do you mean I'm fine? Okay. Tim, do you wish Sean and Lassie had more partnership moments in the series? Interesting.
I do because I love working with Rodé Rodriguez so much. Anyways, so the answer is yes in my long-winded diatribe. Yes.
Yeah. I would like that too.
But on the other hand, no, because it would mean less time for Lassiter and O'Hara.
I know. That was my only... I got a little jealous.
My ultimate answer is no.
Thank you. Okay, who do you think would actually be the most calm during an emergency like this one? Can I tell you? I feel like we all have pretty good, like, crisis heads on our shoulders. I feel like probably Kirsten, I could see being, like all of us would go into probably survival, and I think Kirsten could stay very like a step by step. Anyway,
my first impulse was Kirsten.
All right, let's go, Kirsten.
See, I mean, the even keeled mother of two.
Yeah, yeah, and that, yeah. What was it like to film the parking lot shower scene? Was the water at least warm?
They warmed it, but they still did. Never warm enough.
Never. They always say, don't worry, the water's going to be warm if you're doing anything outside or anything in like water. And it's always like, yeah, it's never actually warm enough. But it's not cold, so we're not complaining. But that was I remember that day. I remember walking up that day and being like, all right, here we go. This is the biggest bonding scene we've all had.
And where am I supposed to take my clothes off and then walk around in front of my crew? Granted, yeah. I had a towel on, but still.
Yeah.
Bare-chested and stick-armed, shy.
No. I mean, everybody's shy. I feel like you looked great, Tim.
You're a good friend, Maddie.
The water was warm. Okay, what was it like watching the episode post-global pandemic? Honestly, I really was uncomfortable. But I just think the biggest thing for me was the fact that we did this episode, read the script, you know, watched these movies, Outbreak, Contagion, yada, yada. And it just didn't seem even within a realm of possibility that that could ever really happen. And then it did. So that's more what I was thinking of how innocent it was we were at the time.
I 100% concur.
Okay, do you think Sean would have confessed his feelings for Jules if Lassie and Gus didn't interrupt? That's a really good question. I feel like he was really going there, but my gut says no. My gut says something would have distracted him. Something would have like pulled him out of it if it could.
Tim,
thoughts? Do you think he would
say, have? Yes, I think he would have.
You do? Okay. I kind of feel like he would have bailed, but I'm on the fence about it. I really am. I was like,
I think he would have started to bail and then stopped himself and really dug in and realized what's important in the world.
Yeah, because that's a scary thing to go through. That's a big deal. Okay, that was our fan questions. That's our episode, Tim.
This was a really great one.
Death is in the air.
Yay! Death, almost murder is in the air.
Exactly. That was a roundabout one. This one is. I like that. I like it. This was so fun. We will see you guys next week. Tim, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, just again, like you see Dr. Judd Nelson and the real Judd Nelson in a role like this, and realize how stupid funny he is and why he is the icon that we grew up watching, or I grew up watching, and some of you youngins might have as well.
Agreed. I think he's so funny in this, and he really did come to play. It was such a fun thing for us, and, you know, is an icon. And now it's a psycon. A psycon!
Well, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
You heard it here first. Okay, I think we can sign off on that note. Love you, Tim.
Love you, Maggie.
What a crazy episode to watch after living through a global pandemic. It is crazy to think that so many TV shows were out there predicting these types of things way in advance. Anyway, see you next week where we talk about season 4, episode 14, Think Tank, with the one and only Marco Ciccone. Finally, we are so happy to have him. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at @thepsychologistrn and our Twitter at @psychologistpod. Please also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistsarein for full episodes of the pod and all kinds of fun things. You might even get a chance to be on the podcast with us.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.